You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio on a Thursday with Prout Financial Design starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On 2/13, my sister's birthday today. Happy birthday, Mary. Birthday. And just before Valentine's Day, of course.
Of course.
Just a reminder to all those people out there who might want a reminder that tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Quick quiz, Dennis Prout.
Yes, sir.
If your wife says, Dennis, Valentine's Day is not important to me, just we don't have to do anything. What do you do, Dennis?
I say, you lie.
You come
Sorry.
Home.
I just, you know. Right back at you, honey. Of course, I do love you so much.
You get flowers anyway, right?
Yeah, in fact, I smiled on my way here. I thought, you know, they're already on order, and I get to pick them up by noon. So they're being
Very
arranged
good.
Right now.
It's a
don't
secret.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. And part of the WTCM family, we have so much to talk about. In fact, in the coming weeks, there was this is not what we're talking about today. But there was an article in this morning's Wall Street Journal, the amount of graft and overspending and all the rest, significant. They're talking $1 trillion in just regular overspending, whatever the heck that is. So some of these articles are starting to come out, and I think it's going to make for a very interesting conversation in terms of what this could mean to the economy and for our own federal government. And what they're finding now that they're digging some of this stuff up that has been decades in the making, okay? So lots of interesting things to talk about in the coming weeks. And, you know, we want to keep it to an economic investment standpoint and do our best to stay out of the political realm because that is always, I'll just call that a bit of a mire, if you will. Mm. And it's not the intent of this show to go there. But at the same time, I think it really points up some opportunity for that investors might realize as a result of that, okay?
Well, we definitely want the U.S. to have a healthy financial side to it.
Yes, indeed. And that's exciting. And voicing that here this morning for Heidi Cartwright is Heidi Cartwright. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Dennis. I'm delighted to be here today. I'm looking forward to our discussion today. I think it's going to be great.
I am too. Heidi's our own retirement income certified professional, also the managing director. I'm reading this just to make sure I have this correct. Is that correct there, Heidi?
Yes. Yep, that is correct. That's my title.
He's losing it. I know it. And also Beth Shire, a director of marketing. Beth, good morning over there.
Good morning,
the other
sir.
Seat.
Yes, over here.
Great to have
over
you.
Here, over
to
there.
Here. Who will help us interview this morning, Connie Hintz Sala from the Alliance for Senior Housing. the Alliance for Senior Housing. Welcome, Connie.
Thank you so much for having me. I do have to correct you, though, Dennis.
Yes?
It's Hinsala.
Hinsala. I don't need to say Hinsala.
No, it's Hinsala.
Hinsala.
All the Finnish people out there understand what that is.
Oh, you're Finnish?
No,
oh.
I married into that.
Oh, you married into it.
I didn't know what that was.
I would say a good number of Finns in this area.
Absolutely.
Including the Wara Technology Group over there. So, yes, good representation. So, you've been doing this work for the Alliance for about 20 years or so?
25 years this year.
25 this year?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, I would call it alternative living situations and status, when the status quo at home starts to break down. So what are the alternative living options that people could have, given that things start to not work with their own care or for their own personal caregivers in the home? Would that be an accurate way to put this?
It is. I guess alternative is a different way. I'm used to, in my world, it's all about the care. So it's when a person can no longer maintain their own homes, maybe stairs are becoming an issue, and they need to downsize to an independent living senior apartment. Maybe they need more care, such as assisted living, adult foster care, or nursing homes. So I just help them navigate that whole maze of senior housing, the different types, the cost, and what's the best scenario for them.
Fantastic. And this is such a huge issue, I think, is only going to get more and more dramatic as we age, as the baby boomer, that whole set, ages too. And in trying to think about care and all the other issues that go along with it, including, and I want to address this one first, just to dive in. The guilt. You know, we talked with you Monday.
It was
about
Monday.
This.
Yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And it was a fantastic talk that we had with you because the issues are so dynamic, but this can wind up being a crisis problem. But one of the major components you said is guilt for the caregivers. It's almost 100% common. You said amongst those who
absolutely.
Are overseeing.
And a caregiver could be a spouse, it could be another family member, it could be an adult child, or it could be a group of siblings where some need to, they need to have someone that they're caring for move into a facility because their schedule doesn't allow it. Where okay. The other person, the other sibling, feels so guilty that they want that person to stay home. So there's so many different dynamics when guilt comes into play.
It really does. And it reminds me of our own family situation. Some were much more comfortable caring for dad at home. They just had that skill level.
Correct.
Others were not. And it became very obvious that it was a really lopsided caregiving situation or talent or natural gift, if you will.
And you can see where the dynamic would happen of somebody becoming short-tempered, siblings starting to argue back and forth and the way things should be done. And there's so many different things that can happen for someone who's staying at home to receive care, how that gets paid for, but also moving into some type of a care complex.
Now, as soon as you talk about moving, I think people automatically have some defense mechanisms that come up. Where are we going to move? What's that going to look like? How much is it going to cost? So a part of this is, there's no way we're going to have enough time to talk about all this. We've already
Correct.
Agreed in principle that we're going to have you back on again when we talked about this on Monday. I think this is just such a significant area and problem for us to talk about and to help our listening audience through. So the real issues related to a decision regarding care, you've kind of addressed that. How does somebody begin to think through, okay, what are some of the warning signs? What are some of the decision markers, if you will, that could help us move through that?
Is your question of when is it the right time?
Yeah, how do we know that mom or dad really are not, this is not working or going to work?
Okay. So when it's the caregiver, and again, whether that's a spouse or another family member, a lot of times, by the time someone comes to me, the caregiver has already experienced burnout. They're short-tempered. They're not taking care of themselves. They have let go of the things that they enjoy doing because they just are exhausted. They've become isolated. So a lot of times it's the caregiver that is the determining factor when someone needs care. If it's the individual themselves, you're looking at, you know, even if it's just a memory problem, and now they're not remembering if they ate, they're not remembering if they took their medications correctly or the last time they took a shower, all of those little tiny things can add up, even though they're still functioning. Maybe they're still driving, but there's just this slight memory issue that can cause many problems. So it's always good to plan ahead, which is what we're doing here today. We're giving information to start that process of planning ahead. Don't wait for that crisis to happen when someone's in the hospital or they've overdosed on their medications or whatever that could look like.
So in terms of the caregiver themselves, if they're starting to get short-tempered, if they're starting to see that their lives are being
controlled
or moved, all of their activities that they normally take care of are being put down, if you will, in terms of a second or third tier of importance, just trying to keep up with mom or dad in terms of caregiving.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. I liked what you said, Connie, where you said, like, one way to find out if you are getting burnout is you're letting go of the things that you like doing. And I think that's helpful and insightful for a caregiver. Are you slowly seeing attrition of the things you like doing in your life to maybe you need extra help. Maybe we need to start talking about how we're going to supplement caregiving in a different way, like you suggested, either
Correct.
Independent living or assisted living or some combination.
You know, and I always like to preface when I meet with individuals, if they just really want to stay in their own home, which we all do, no one really wants to talk to me, but if they really want to stay in their own home, I'm going to share information with them on how they do that. If I see a caregiver that has just been going and going, and if they just had some respite, they could be a better caregiver. If they just had a break, they could be a better caregiver. And respite could be a few hours a week. It could be a whole week where they just get a break. There's many different ways for that caregiver to get more equipped, better equipped to care for their loved one at home if that's what they choose to do. So I don't want to say that assisted living is what everyone needs to do, but it's certainly more affordable in the long run and sometimes the best option.
So what does respite care like involve? How do you get something like that?
So respite care can come in many different forms. It could be where Commission on Aging gives you 4 hours a week for one of their caregivers to come in. And it could be a four-hour slot, or it could be 2 hours and 2 hours throughout the week. That gives the caregiver maybe time to just take a nap without any being interrupted. Maybe they get to go to a movie, or they get to go out to eat with a friend, just something to give them that break. It could also look like a weekend. Maybe the spouse wants to go to the grandson's wedding or something. The spouse could go to assisted living for a period of time, maybe 3 or 4 days, while that person leaves and goes to that wedding.
So they could go to assisted living for 3 to 4 days?
Absolutely. Could go for a month if they chose to do that.
Whoa. I didn't even know that was available.
A lot of times, I work very closely with the hospital, and let's say the caregiver falls and breaks an ankle or an arm even, but they're the caregiver of their spouse. So case management will give me a call and say, hey, we have someone here in the hospital who has someone at home with dementia. Can you find a place for that person for the next month while they're in rehab? So there's a lot of different ways respite can happen.
And you can help people coordinate that kind of care or find that care.
I can.
Does Medicare or insurance cover the assisted living, like a short-term stint?
No.
No.
It is always an out-of-pocket cost.
Definitive answer, no.
Yeah. Okay. So just short-term, absolutely not. There's no funding option.
But there are forms of care that one can get that Medicare and or Medicaid would cover, which we'll talk about in the program here as well.
Correct.
So there are lots of ways to get care. I think the biggest thing is to begin to consult with someone like yourself about what can I do about this? And so the blocks, the guilt, if you will, recognizing that. First of all, how does someone contact you at Alliance? What's your phone number? How do they get in touch?
I'll just give you my cell number. That's the easiest. It's 231-883-5028. 231-883-5028. You can leave a message. You can text.
Okay. Is there a website available or no?
Website is alliance4seniorhousing.com. And the word for is F-O-R. So everything spelled out, alliance4seniorhousing.com.
Great.
And, of course, you can email through the website.
Okay. Now, when you're thinking about this, and you're actually meeting with a family, what does that look like? Do you just go into the home? What do you need to do in order to begin to assess what's going on and to advise people about what to look for, how to know what to do?
So you asked a little bit earlier, how does someone get a hold of me? So, yes, they can call me directly. They don't have to have a referral through the doctor.
Okay.
But a lot of times the doctors will give out my number. Attorneys will give it out. Of course, the different agencies in town would be giving out my number as well. So you don't need a referral to get in touch with me. My service is completely no cost, no obligation. I'm not going to be following up with you, asking you when are you ready to move. So it's strictly educational when we first meet. Normally, I am going to the individual's home, have other family members there, and just have a conversation. Just talk about what do they like, not like, what's their day look like, what do they still enjoy doing or used to enjoy doing. And we talk about what's challenging for them. Is it meals? Is it standing? Is it mobility? Is it some level of dementia? What does all of that look like? And through that, I can share information about the different types of homes that would accommodate them, give them privacy, but still 24-hour service right outside their door available to them, what that cost. And, of course, I'm going to show them things that they can afford, and we're going to look at, do they qualify for any type of funding options? Will they qualify for it when they run out of money? What does all of that look like? So it's for planning for right now and also planning for the future, but it's also what I prefer, and we talked about this on Monday, is for people to talk to me before the crisis happens, even if it's the children to talk to me before the crisis happens.
Because so they can begin to see the issues and just contact you,
yes,
and have a conversation.
Rather than being in crisis mode.
Because, Connie, you said most of the time people are in crisis mode when they call you.
Absolutely.
So calling before you get to that point would be give you more options and more.
It would allow the individual to know what could be expected, what happens if they, the caregiver, end up in the hospital. So we can talk about that and what they should have prepared for that situation. But also, you know, maybe you need to get on a wait list. We do have availability usually in the Traverse City area, but maybe there's a wait list on the place they like.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just have to talk through all of that.
Can you help people get different information on places that they might want to go and then go visit? How does that look like? What does that look like in
sure.
terms of educating themselves and what's available?
So part of my service is to also arrange those tours. So when they meet with me, the goal is to narrow down to two or three homes. Maybe they like six homes. So we're going to set up a tour for one day to see two or three places. If they would like to see more, we'll set up another date to see two or three places. And then they would select where they would like to live or where they would put their name on a wait list. If they're in the hospital and they cannot return home, we, of course, then have to find what's available at that time. So
okay.
It may not be the place they have their name on a wait list, but we can at least we know the plan. At least I've already met them.
Great. So then once you're doing all this, let's say someone has been placed in an assisted living facility. How does the person pay you? Or you mentioned there is no obligation, but what does that look like?
So everybody wants to know the answer to this. My service mm-hmm. is completely free to the consumer. I have contracts with all of the homes in the area. they are under contract with me not to charge more to the consumer just to cover my fee, so it stays completely free for the consumer.
So you're compensated indirectly as a part of any transaction that might occur for them needing care at some point.
Correct.
Up until, unless it's a Medicaid-driven facility, which sometimes you have to advise to as well. So Medicaid can't, Medicaid facility can't compensate you, isn't that correct?
That's correct. Medicaid facility cannot compensate me, but I am going to work with that client exactly the same way and try to help them. Or if I can see where a different agency could be of more service to them, I'm going to refer them over and then step out from that.
Now, Medicaid would be a nursing home such as a Pavilions facility or a PACE program like that, where they're in home getting Medicaid through PACE.
There's actually four different types of Medicaid
Four different Medicaid availability programs.
Correct, but okay. They're all very different, and it's so much information, so I will try to keep it short if I can and ask questions.
Yeah.
So there's nursing home Medicaid. Not only do you have to qualify financially for Medicaid, you also have to qualify physically or cognitively. So you have to be considered bad enough to be receiving the care that Medicaid is going to pay for. So nursing home Medicaid, the My Choice waiver, the PACE Medicaid, and what's called straight Medicaid, everyone will be required to use their own income first. They would get to keep $50 or $60 a month for themselves out of their income. The rest of their income would go to the facility, and again, that's if they're going to a facility, not staying home. But it would go to the facility, and the Medicaid program that they qualified for would add to that rent.
Okay, so that's the most serious type of care I consider. That's the big leagues, if you will, in needing significant amounts of care and where you qualify financially as well to be able to make that Medicaid available to you.
There's a yes and no answer to that.
Okay.
Sorry.
That would not be the PACE program, though.
Possibly.
Okay.
So nursing home Medicaid, everyone thinks, you know, they're... At that point, you're either have a lot, your dementia is quite increased. Maybe you have a lot of physical care going on and you need extra assistance or you need lifts. Yes, that's nursing home care these days. Assisted living and adult foster care can start very minimal, just needing shower and dressing assist all the way through end of life, needing a lift. So it just depends if Medicaid is involved. Who accepts Medicaid? Not everybody accepts Medicaid. So it's not, you know, I had somebody call me the other day to say, you know, I would like them to go to this particular place, and it's a beautiful little apartment that they would have, and it was fantastic, but he's going to need to qualify for Medicaid. That's not going to work. That's not going to happen. But a lot of people still to this day think Medicaid is going to pay for wherever they want to go, and it's not the case. So we have the nursing home Medicaid, the My Choice waiver Medicaid. My Choice waiver is meant to keep people home as well, but it also helps pay for assisted living or adult foster care. There's only a few places in town that do accept the Medicaid waiver program. So if you said to me, I want my own room, I want a dog, and I want my own bath, it's not going to happen. I could find you a small room with a half bath for a home that accepts waiver program. What happens is waiver comes in, and they're going to do an assessment on mom or dad, and they're going to see how much care that person actually needs. That's going to be calculated into an amount of money, and between that person's income and what waiver is willing to pay, the home has to be willing to accept it. So if you have a home that costs $6,000, $7,000 a month, chances are waiver will not be able to pay enough to bring it up to the rent that's necessary. The other thing that has to be looked at here is a person's income for waiver and PACE. The maximum gross amount is $2,901 this year, $2,901 or less.
What is that? That's the maximum that PACE does?
And the waiver.
That's what they'll pay out?
No, oh. That is what you have. That's what you make. Oh. So $2,901 through your Social Security and, Social Security and pensions.
So that's it's a relatively low income threshold.
That's a month, then, right? You
correct, think? Okay. And that's gross. So before Medicare.
Monthly.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So as you're talking, honestly, Connie, I was thinking this reminds me of the Medicare conversation we had. A couple, 3 years ago, and how complex it is.
And how confusing.
But truly, to me, people are going to need counsel on advice on how to do this, on the different services available. They could do it themselves, I'm sure. But to be able to cut to the chase, exactly, a lot of phone calls and a lot of research, and they might miss something that could be critical in terms of, oh, this is available here. This can help you get over that hump, if you will, to where you can get some space and take care of mom or dad now, or we need some more serious care given what's happening here and helping the family recognize that.
Correct.
Too.
So, you know, and I am not an expert when it comes to how the waiver agency does things and how PACE does things. There's gray areas, as I've been told mm-hmm. and educated, that even though I may not think that they'd qualify, maybe there is a way to qualify them. So, you know, of course, you can always speak to elder law attorneys and get yourself financially eligible, but it's not the answer to everything. And that's what people need to know is you might plan for that, but that doesn't mean you get to live wherever you want.
Yeah. So the living situation can be hugely variable as well. Sometimes the law or the attorney can help you if they're an elder law attorney, obviously can help you in specific situations. But there are others that are not going to match what they're providing for or have done with that legal document. And that's because of the variety of care options available for someone who's able and or willing to pay for part of it or all of it themselves.
Correct.
So, Connie, you also wanted to share a story or two about what you're seeing. So to help people get, you know, the story, if you will, of how this works and what goes on with that.
So, you know, some of the stories that of the people that I've worked with, I have one recently. It's a couple. Very dynamic couple. They met while riding on the bus. And they're just so much fun to be around. But we had two completely different levels of care. The one where he needed quite a bit of attention physically, and she was perfectly fine. But they wanted to remain together. Not a lot of money, but one would qualify for funding and the other one wouldn't. So how do we do that? And so they were able to speak with an elder law attorney. I was able to work with this attorney. And then through that came up with different options. So we had like option 1, 2, and 3. One of them was everything stays as is and he stays in the nursing home. The other one was they go to an assisted living together, but we knew they were going to run out of money in 7 to 8 months. And then the other one was to get them close together, where one is in the nursing home that has an assisted living attached to it, and she could stay in the assisted living. The elder law attorney made it possible for her to afford that while he's on Medicaid, so we can keep them close together, she can keep her cats, and they can have meals and do activities together still.
Fantastic.
So, pretty excited about that one, actually, because they were just such a fun couple. You just really wanted them to get the desires of their heart, you know, so we were able to make that work out for them.
So sometimes you can work in collaboration with other advisors, including estate planning attorneys, perhaps, to help them meet the financial needs as well as
sometimes
the physical.
It's necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost necessary or required to get that done. Interesting.
Well, and you had mentioned earlier, Dennis, about the baby boomers and how they have changed things for us. Mm-hmm. What I have seen over the last 25 years is people are staying home longer. We have a lot more services that can be brought in home. Hospice can come into the homes, and that's wonderful. But what happens is people are staying home longer, and the group that's moving into assisted living are in their 90s now, where it used to be in their early 80s. But they're coming in with a lot more needs. And so there's, I know a lot of 90-year-olds who are just ready, and they They want to be done with life, and they're tired and they're exhausted, but, you know, they're still here and still with us. So how do we make that quality of life better for them? And a lot of times that means going to assisted living or adult foster care. And then they realize that, gosh, I was kind of lonely living at home, and now I have friends. I have people I can talk with and have a cup of coffee with and don't have to be alone when I'm having breakfast in the morning. Right. So it's nice.
Yeah. What are the costs generally for those types of care? How do you gauge those? Or what's an average that someone's going to pay?
So my service covers Grand Traverse County and the surrounding counties, so seven different counties. And they range anywhere from the least expensive, which is $3,700 a month, all the way up to $8,000 a month. When we get into that $6,000, $7,000, and $8,000 category, we're usually looking at a very large studio, one or two bedroom apartment, and a much higher level of care, or you get the view of the water, so which is very important around here. The smaller, the $3,700 still gets you a private room and a private half bath and 24-hour care available. So they're going to assist you with all your meals, laundry, housekeeping, ordering your meds, bathing, dressing, incontinence, mobility. Assisted living in our area does a much higher level of care than what I think most people are aware of.
Hmm. What if someone doesn't need that? What if they just need community, if you will, mm-hmm. but they're relatively independent and may just, you know, need to see people, maybe go for a meal or whatever. They're pretty, they can drive their car, all that sort of thing. Is that available as well?
It is. We are blessed with seven wonderful independent living retirement centers in the area. They are all different as far as what's included in the rent, what amenities are provided. And so if you said, I have to downsize my home, I can't do stairs, I'm getting tired of mowing my lawn, which I'm getting there myself.
I'm getting tired of shoveling the snow or,
that
you know,
too.
Whatever it is.
That too. That used to be one of my advertising.
I'm getting tired
pictures.
Of watching my wife shovel the snow.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I almost feel bad for her.
It's Valentine's Day tomorrow. So if they're just, you know, if they just want to downsize and they're looking for companionship and not in the form of a new spouse, but just friendships, and maybe they would like to have a meal or two sitting down with somebody, our retirement centers just are phenomenal. Hmm. And it could be an all-inclusive rent where all the meals, all the utilities are included, so you just have one bill. Or it could be a la carte, so you have your rent with a la carte services or anything in between there. Hmm. And out of that seven, we have three that actually have on-site personal care services that you can add. So maybe you just need assistance with getting a shower once or twice a week and making sure you're safe, and the rest of the week you're fine. They have that staff right there available to you.
Fantastic. And what's the cost generally for something like that on a monthly basis?
Oh, gosh. Again, that is going to go from about $1,500, $1,600 a month for a one-bedroom apartment with full kitchen. And that can go all the way up to, depending on the size of your apartment, to $7,000 or $8,000.
So there's really a huge array of services available. So if somebody's, let's say, way out in Leelanau County somewhere, they're tired of being that remote, if you will, but the children are getting concerned about the fact that they, you know, we're not sure we want them out there for 4 months out of the year. They get it 4 months in the wintertime, let's just say it that way. They could actually theoretically move into a facility like this, get the help through the winter, and then move back out.
Yeah, there are leases, and at the moment we only have one place that is month to month that would allow that winter stay.
Okay.
But I do get those calls, especially from Leelanau County with those long driveways.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those hills out there. So we do have one place in town that you could go month to month, or you could do a short-term lease for 4 months or 6 months. So sometimes that can get you through those winter months. And assisted living is always month to month.
So Connie Insula, Alliance for Senior Housing, your phone number 231-883-5028.
Correct.
5028-883-5028 or the Alliance for Senior Housing.com.
And free to consumers, a free service to consumers.
It is absolutely completely free. So whether I'm just sitting and giving you pre-planning information or you actually need to move within a couple of days, I'm going to take you through that process, and it's going to be completely no cost.
Great. It's good to know all these things. So what are some of the other things that you're seeing in terms of how situations that you see, that you've seen, and what do you do with, let's talk about the family situation. Sometimes that might be the biggest block to a parent or loved one getting care. How do you work through those issues? Let's say there are four siblings who are in on a decision-making tree here, if you will. How do you get through those kind of situations?
So first of all, no matter how many children there are, whether it's two or six, and we have some larger families in the area, they all care. They all want the best for mom or dad. They just don't know how to go about it. So it is just a matter of listening to what each person wants and maybe coming together in a different way. Maybe we've got two or three that can provide care, but two or three that are able to provide more money. So can they all come together and just talk about that and come to a compromise? Is that sufficient? Do they need to go and visit these places along with mom or dad so they can see what they're actually like and talk about it later? There's never a pressure to that process. And again, sometimes it's just bringing more care into the home. Absolutely. So earlier we were talking about all the different types of Medicaid. It's really overwhelming. There's no way to sit here and do it. So if anyone has any questions, please call me. Don't assume that you don't qualify. So just wanted to say that. The difference between Medicare and Medicaid, people still believe Medicare, what we all get at age 65, will, or if you're disabled, you have Medicare. They also think Medicare is going to pay for assisted living or adult foster care, or even if they go permanently into a nursing home. Medicare is only for those who are in the hospital. They have broken a hip. They've become deconditioned. They were very ill. They need therapies, physical therapy, occupational speech, IV therapy. Those are the things that Medicare covers, and it's only short term.
It's recovery. Recovery
correct,
issues.
Okay. Correct. And so during that time, you would go into a skilled rehab facility. And normally, and I say normally because it has changed dramatically the way Medicare covers with different insurances, with your supplemental insurance. But normally, the first 20 days is paid at 100% while you're receiving therapies by Medicare. As long as you continue to cooperate and progress. So if it's day 12 and you say, I'm done, I'm not doing any more of this therapy, I'm not going to get up and move anymore, they give you a few days to, you know, refuse. And if you continue to refuse, Medicare stops paying. If you plateau and they can't seem to get you over the hump and you've stayed at that same level, Medicare will also stop paying. But normally, as long as you continue to progress, you have the first 20 days covered at 100%, and then day 21 through 100, Medicare will cover 80%, and your supplemental may or may not cover the other 20%. So you always want to know what you're signing up for if you're over the age of 65. Is your insurance going to pay that other 20%?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then you also said that during the break that you'd seen a significant change in those with dementia issues. And you said related to COVID as well. So
that's what it looked like. You know, during COVID, those that were going into the hospital that already had dementia, within a few months, it almost seemed like a psychosis or aggression, violent behaviors. And it was much more intense coming out of COVID than I've ever seen in all the years that I've been doing this. A lot of people were talking about that, you know, it had to be due to COVID. They had COVID, and this is what happened with those people. I don't know if there's any scientific studies that were ever done. I know there was a thing on dementia psychosis that was done, a paper that I read, and it was talking about COVID and how it affected those with dementia. Just experiencing it, though, is pretty overwhelming because it's very difficult We have great places that have that are memory care units in the area, wonderful establishments. But, you know, they're not equipped to take people who are being very aggressive and violent towards the staff or towards the other residents.
Okay.
So it was some tough times there for a while.
But it's somewhat dissipated?
It has. It really has.
Good.
Yep.
Good. Well, thank you so much. How much time do we have here, Ron?
2 to 3 minutes.
Okay, good. Now, again, if someone wants to contact you, it's
231-883-5028.
I can find you a room, Dennis. If you forgot my number, I'll
you know, then there you go. Where are you? What's going on? So, yeah, in terms of counsel and advice, you would much rather, if possible, to meet with the family well beforehand so that they can begin planning this and get a better look, understanding of what is available out there and how to make good decisions in terms of their loved ones. Both now
yes.
and in the future.
And it's not just the adult children of mom or dad, just the couple themselves that is living together, they're independent. And what does it look like 2 or 3 years from now? Maybe we are going to have to downsize. Maybe, you know we have some health issues. We're doing great right now, but let's plan ahead. Let's talk about that. There's no obligation. Like I said, I'm not going to be calling you up. When are you ready to move? Mm-hmm. I would wait to hear back from you. So there's that independent living couple that needs information. There's the families that need information, and maybe they're not ready to do anything yet, but you know, maybe they need to do it next week, and I help with that as well.
Mm-hmm. So if you get a diagnosis of a health issue, it might be something you could look and say, I may need this in the future, so I should check it out now.
Correct.
I should plan what to do if it does accelerate.
Yeah, what does it cost? Am I prepared for that? We also talked a little bit about long-term care in the break. Long-term mm-hmm. care helps pay for assisted living or adult foster care. But it depends on how it's written. Old policies that were written 30 years ago says nursing home care, and we think that's going to pay for our assisted living. That may not be the case. Hmm. It may say it has to be a licensed facility. Well, most in our area are non-licensed, so we just need to talk about all of that. Hmm. So, you know, look at those long-term care policies, too.
Take a look at the details and get advice.
Mm-hmm.
Great concept. And we're talking about having you at a lunch and learn as well. We'll try to work something out with you, Connie.
You'll get a lot more information from that.
Excellent. Great. Very good. Thank you for coming on here, Connie.
Thanks for having me and that we can talk about this before a crisis.
Thanks for sharing that wisdom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. That'll wrap up another episode of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, 947-3992 for Prout Financial Design. For Connie at Alliance for Senior Housing, 883-5028.
You got it.
Dennis, Heidi, Beth, Connie, thank you all.
Thank you, Ron.
Connie Hinsela and the Alliance for Senior Housing are not affiliated with Prout Financial Design or LPL Financial. You are under no obligation to use the services of any of these entities referred and may choose any qualified professional to provide tax, CPA, legal, and or trust services. These entities and services are not affiliated with LPL Financial and Prout Financial Design.